Hey, Jim. Matt Smith, Southern Pigskin. First, kind of dip of the toe in the water for Florida with these neutral site games. Is the preparation any different? Obviously, you played in a bunch in Colorado CSU games when you were out there.
That's right.
Is it easier to motivate them having that lure of that first game, especially against a team that kind of punched you around a little bit in the bowl game?
Yeah, no. I don't think it's as much about the opponent. I think it's good for college football. I think the opportunity to get two good teams from two different conferences and really kicking off the season like that is something that's special. And, you know, for me personally, it has to do with, you know, more the Florida Gators fans. And you know what? They deserve watching those kind of games, and it's something we'll continue to do in the future.
Next question, we'll go here. Left side, front row.
Coach Dan Matthews, Gridiron. Now, do you guys, when the preseason prognostications come out, expect not to be picked to win the East despite winning it the last 2 years?
Well, I guess business as usual, right? It's kind of the way it is. Kind of come to expect it. That's okay. I don't know. I mean, you know what? I like our team. Like our guys, we'll figure out a way to try to win a game here and there, and that'll be the way it is, I guess.
Center aisle on the camera.
Hi, Coach. Molly Walsh with the Tuscaloosa News. We're doing a project on should your kid or kids in general play high school football, why or why not. So what's your take on that?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at it, there's a lot of reasons to. And the thing has to do with that, I think, when you look at it, even at some other sports, I think some of the indications out there from the injury standpoint, let's take a look at some of the ones in some of the other sports that don't get quite as much publicity as the game of football. But learning teamwork, learning hard work, learning dedication, learning the things that it takes to help you be successful in life, learning how to deal with failure, which is something that, you know what, is kind of getting lost today a little bit. And it teaches things that no other sport can. I think it's something that, you know, I wish everybody could experience, because it's something pretty special.
Left side here, second row.
Chris Walsh, SEC Country. Coach, are you buying in the notion that SEC, or that quarterback play in the conference is going to be better this year? And if so, how much?
Well, I think you see the returning guys and obviously what they had been able to do, and now getting a year under their belt coming back. I think there's a lot of really good quarterbacks. It's one of those deals, I think, almost goes in cycles. It seems like a lot of guys are starting new quarterbacks, you know, and then those guys kind of grow, and then it becomes a position of strength, you know, where I think, like in our case, just when you talk about position of strength, you know, when we first arrived, I think we had four scholarship O-linemen. And this year, I think we're to a point where I think our offensive line is going to be a thing of strength. So, you know, it's interesting. I think when you get those young guys in there, they develop. And I don't think there's any doubt there's good players in this league.
Over here on the right side in the middle.
Coach, I got asked a question this morning in an interview, and I didn't have the answer, and I thought maybe – you could help me. Why the disparity with the East and the West, SEC East and the West? Because I know the East has great coaches. I've followed you for many years. I know you're recruiting the same players. I know facilities are there. You know, why the disparity, and what has to change for that to be different?
Sure. You know, I think it goes in cycles. I'm not a great historian on it, and yet I think there was probably a time where there was a pretty good dominance with the East over the West. I think when it does come to one of the things, you know, we are all recruiting in the same pool, you know, guys are taking the same visits, this and that. And yet, you know, when you do get into the facilities piece of it, I think when you look at what the West has done in comparison to the East over the last, say, 15 years, I think you see a big discrepancy in that one from that standpoint. And yet, it isn't all about that, you know. I think the cycle of it more than anything, and there's good programs on both sides.
Let's go left side here against the wall.
Jim, I'm not sure if you're aware of this stat, but Nick Saban is 10-0 against his former assistants, including three.
Yeah, he beat the heck out of me twice here and once in Colorado State. There's no doubt about it.
I guess, what do you attribute to his success against former assistants? And then can you tell a little couple stories about, you know, what, maybe in-game situations where you see, I don't want to necessarily say out-coach, but when he has situations when he takes advantage of that relationship?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at it, there's sometimes when that assistant goes off and maybe takes a job, he's got a pretty established program. Wouldn't you say that? Yeah. Okay. Getting pretty good players, right? So I would say this. I think the way we played him at Colorado State probably propelled our program as much as anything. And then us being able to make it to back-to-back SEC championship games when probably nobody thought we would, you know, to that point, you know what, we're getting there. And I look forward to it. And yet I think that really the credit more than anything, when you go off to those programs, there's probably a reason you got that job. Maybe it needs to be built, you know, who knows, right? But he's good now.
Also here on the left side, green shirt.
I had a couple positional questions for you as far as the freshman coming in.
Yeah.
Where will T.J. Slayton start for you guys?
He's a D lineman.
Okay. And then the defensive backs, do you have an idea which ones you'd like to start off at corner versus safety?
You know, we're still doing that. You know, the big thing for us, as you know, is trying to establish that nickel position. So if we're going to be able to keep Duke on the outside, right? So that's going to be kind of the number one piece when you get back there.
Next up here, front row on the left.
Hey, Jim Beardsley with CBS. Defensively, you lose a lot of players up front in the front seven, but guys like Jabari Zuniga, David Reese got significant playing time last year. What do you expect from that experience, how those guys can develop going into full-time starting roles?
You know, we got hit like a lot of people do with the injury bug at some spots. You know, we lost a bunch of linebackers and then had these David Reese and Voshan Joseph and obviously Kylan Johnson all stepped in and played great. So they got some valuable experience because they, in theory, started about 5 to 6 games. Now, in that secondary, how do you replace a Marcus May, a Quincy Wilson, and Tease Tabor, who all got drafted very high? You know, I think we've got some good young talent. We won't have the experience. And yet, I think the talent's one of those things that I'm probably excited about. We're going to be young. That's all right. It's like I tell them, man, you're on scholarship to come play. Let's go.
Left side by the door.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
How you been, man?
Doing well. You've been involved in two pretty wild games against Tennessee the last 2 years. Obviously, you had the highs 2 years ago, the lows last season. What's right. kind of been the early returns from you coaching in that rivalry? And have you been involved in a game kind of like the Tennessee game last year that you guys were playing so well, and then it kind of snowballed, obviously,
you know,
in the second half?
Probably happy to say I really hadn't been, you know, from the, you know, as far as that type of game, and yet actually been on the other side of it. So, but with that, you know, like I said, here's, you know, we talk about rivalries, and I go back and I just, that's what makes college football what it is. And at a place like Florida, it isn't just one rivalry. You know, that's what's great about being there, man. You play them against these guys every week. And so I don't know, but that's something special. I mean, that game's one of those that a lot of people mark their calendars for, and that's what makes it fun.
Boy, the last 2 years, it's kind of been in the non-league, it's kind of up the ante back, kind of bringing that rivalry back to where it was in the 90s.
You know, I'd love to be able to say yes, and yet, you know, in the mid-90s, I was coaching at Montana State, all right? So I just left Eastern Washington, and I'm not sure I knew a whole bunch about the rivalry, but I'm learning quickly.
Left side here, second row.
Jim, Matt Stevens with Montgomery Advertiser. Your athletic director is going to be on, or is on this six-person committee to discuss recruiting. I'm curious if
Do what? I'm sorry.
Scott's going to be on this six-person committee, SEC committee that Chris Cersanke talked about yesterday. That's going to address recruiting in the league.
That's cool.
I'm curious as to how you communicate with Scott about issues that you have currently with some of the things that have changed in recruiting, and how he may be able to help you throughout this process, kind of getting things changed or getting things discussed?
Well, I think first and foremost, he's been in it a long time. And from the SEC perspective, he's been at Kentucky, been at Auburn, obviously Mississippi State. So he understands what that piece is. He's a guy that I'm sure will study the heck out of it and help. Here's what I don't think people get sometimes is there's kind of this thing out there that if we generate something from the SEC, then it must be bad, right? And yet some of the stuff and policies they're putting in are horrible for the players, the high school coaches, all the people involved. And yet when we put a proposal together, it's almost like, no, they're trying to get away with something. It isn't it. We've got really good people that understand the situations we're in that can help the game of football rather than hurt it. I don't think anybody wants to see it go, and I think that they've really kind of brought basketball back, but at one time, they don't want to see it go that way. And yet, we've put principles or rules in that are similar to the rules that they took out of college basketball. So tell me how crazy that is.
We have time for three last questions. Let's start here with Scott. Right side, second row.
Hey, Jim. Yeah. Franks, Allen, Zaire, what are you looking for, you and Doug, when you're sitting there, besides obvious things? What are you looking for in determining who? Because they have different skill sets.
Sure.
And would you be comfortable playing two different skill sets in a game till one of them does whatever you want them to do?
Yeah, I think so. And yet, really, it's fitting it to the skill set. But what are we looking for? Somebody that's putting the ball up and down the field and converting in the red area. That's really what it comes down to. And obviously you can't be turning it over. That's pretty obvious. But how you do is the closer you get to that goal line is really going to be a stress for us as we get into fall camp.
Left side here on the aisle.
Coach Chance Collins with Fox Sports Knoxville. I asked Duke earlier, and I'd like to ask you the same question. How do you feel about having that LSU game this year scheduled for homecoming?
Well, it's interesting. I've been asked this all day, and the first I heard about it was when I got off the plane from Montana yesterday. And as I've said, and I'll say it again, unlike the University of Alabama, where maybe Coach Saban has a say as to who homecoming is, the school didn't check with me. So I just actually found out when I got off the plane. I think it's great. Last time I checked, you have homecoming. I don't know who you play. You just have homecoming. So, man, I tell you what, you guys must be bored for some stories. That's all I can say.
right side here in the front row.
Coach Corey Miller, watch Fox Sports in Columbia. Want to ask about two former Florida coaches. Number one, Steve Spurrier, who's down there now. What's your relationship with him, and what's that like?
I got to tell you, on the way out the door today, he said as he was headed to the golf course, he was taking my ops guy to the golf course, and he said, "Mac, do a great job there at the old speak season." I thought that was classic, but he's great. He's great to have around. He's good for the whole department. And initially, when I knew there was that opportunity, I went to Jeremy and said, "We've got to hire this guy." I mean, I drive by his statue every single day, for Christ's sakes, right? And he is Florida football in a lot of ways. So having him back home and being part of it is just something I think that's great.
And number two, the coach that you replace, Will Muschamp, in South Carolina. Facing him, what do you see that he's done with that program in year number one?
Well, I think first and foremost, he is a great football coach. And, he did some unbelievable things that helped pave the way for me, at Florida. So, let's not forget that he did a really good job there. And knowing that he was going to be a head football coach again, and what he did in turning those guys, especially the belief system, as you saw the season go on, once they settled into that quarterback, and, you know, you knew they were going to play great defense. And I think Kurt Roper and him have done an outstanding job from that standpoint as far as getting the system installed. So, really good.